Good morning. This is Jennifer, and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, a place where we get together and go into God's Word so that we can better understand what it looks like to love the Lord our God with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and to love one another. And so we want to do that in community, and this Bible study provides a really great place for us to do that. We're studying through Hebrews. Today is day six. Lesson 10, day six. Is that right? No. Yeah, it is. It's like I'm living in two different lessons right now. Anyway, lesson 10, day six, Hebrews 10. Grab your Bibles and we'll get started with the word of prayer. Let's go ahead and do that. Goodbye, hubby. He's saying, my hubby's waving goodbye to me over the top of the video camera. Bye. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the chance to be together in your word today. Bless our time together as we study and honor you. Lift up all the people listening right now. Thank you for their heart to love you and to really learn. Bless them today and the many things they have to do. A lot of stuff on our mind, a lot of things filled in on our schedule. And we want to just make sure that every moment of our day is a time that we glorify you. So we give this time right now into your hands and ask that you would give us wisdom, understanding of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's do it. Let's go ahead over to the lesson, which I've got called up here on the screen. Look at that. We travel back in time. If I switch back over to Facebook, you can see me a few minutes ago or seconds ago. I don't know. I wonder how long the delay is. I never really thought about that. All right. So again, we're lesson 10, day six, and we're in Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. So let's go ahead over and begin by practicing our verse. That's awesome. Wait, did I get the, yeah, how interesting. I didn't have these little side panels on there yesterday. It looked different. Anyway, all right, there we go. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Such an important reminder that it's not about us. It's about him being faithful, and all we have to do is hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hope you're taking time to memorize that, make that your focus through our study. I'm almost there. I'm pretty sure I'll have it by the end. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Let me go ahead and read our focus verses today, and then we'll get started. Excited because our focus verses have our memory verse in them today. Here we go. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is a habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as the day is drawing near. Back over to our lesson now. The author is done making his case and now moves to his call to action. Highlight the word therefore in your Bible. Such an important signal word. We've talked about this before. What's the therefore? Therefore? It's there to get our attention and to say, as a result of everything that we have just been talking about, leading up to this point, take heed what I'm going to say next. As a result of error, I've been building my case, and now we're going to move on. That's why we see all this. Let us do this. Let us do this. Let us do this. So that's important. So highlight that in your Bible. The author is reminding us, what is the author reminding us that we have? Grab your Bible and, oh, that's interesting. Oh, my computer's looking weird. You're not seeing that on your screen, probably. But anyway, I'll go back to 10, verse 19. What is a reminder that we have? We have confidence to enter the holy place. Big news for those his original audience, as we've talked about many times. Isn't that fun when you look down in your drink and you're like, oh, there was something in there. Not cool. I'd be drinking from that cup. All right. Why do we have it? Why do we have this confidence? Well, we have it because of the blood of Jesus. How does the author describe the way open for us? What does it look like? What does that way look like? Well, it says it's new and living. The new and living way. This is really exciting. This is really an important distinction to understand, that this way is new as well as living. And again, considering the Jewish audience, this would have been an especially powerful choice of words, creating a searing image in their minds. How so? Who has been freshly slaughtered? Where did that even come from? Make sure you read the read this boxes, the it's Greek to me and things like that. It's so funny. I was having a conversation with someone, asked me a question. I said, oh, I wrote about that in the study. Did you read that? No, I didn't see anything. Oh, I don't read those boxes on the side. I'm like, why do I write these? Read the boxes. It's got good information in there. That's why they're there. The Greek word translated new in 10:20 is unique to Hebrews. All these really cool, unique words in Hebrews, over 174 of them. It is from the Greek word prosphaton, meaning freshly slaughtered. Earlier in the message, the author has taught us that we are in the time of the new covenant. The word translated new in that verse is Canaan, meaning new in quality. We'll learn yet another Greek word for new later in chapter 12. But this word here, fresh and new, new and living means the living, the new part means it's newly slaughtered, freshly slaughtered. And so this is a graphic word that we don't even have an equivalent in English. And so to translate it would have had to, we would have probably been a great way to translate it. Freshly slaughtered. It's so vivid. It's so scary and kind of icky sounding. But the point is that he's saying Jesus, even though it's within about a 30-year span since he has given his life, it's fresh in the relative, you know, to time and the space of time and all that. So who has been freshly slaughtered, relatively speaking? Jesus. Jesus has been. Every lamb that was slaughtered on the Day of Atonement was nothing but dead. How different was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world? He was freshly slaughtered, but no way did he stay dead. He rose. Death, where is your victory? Where, O grave, is your sting? We serve a living Savior. Amen? While the word choice for new is dramatic, his word choice for through the curtain is no less so. Consider literally what happened to the curtain in the temple when Jesus was crucified. And I know you know this. I know a lot of you know this. But let's go ahead and take a look at Matthew. If you haven't already gone into your Bible and highlighted this connection, do it now. Go to this reference in your Bible, not just on Bible Gateway here, but in your actual Bible, and write Matthew 27:51. And then write the reference here from Hebrews 10. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split. And the every gospel includes this record of the temple curtain being split in two. And it's important to note that it was split from top to bottom. In other words, maybe somebody from the bottom could have been pulling it apart like this in two ways. No, this was a 10 centimeter, the width, you know, of a man's hand in thickness, and woven in a very special way. For this to tear would have been an act of God. And guess what? It was. It was an act of God. So the author wants us to see this connection here and between the torn curtain and the body of Jesus. So what parallel does the author make in 10:20 between the curtain of Jesus? He says they were both torn in a sense. Jesus' body wasn't literally torn, but in that sense, he's the curtain, right? In lesson 7, we learned that scripture draws clear parallels between people and things that point forward to Christ. They are referred to as types. What then is the curtain as a type pointing to? Yeah, Jesus. The answer is Jesus on that one. Good job. Consider the function of the curtain in the tabernacle. How was it a copy and shadow or type pointing to Jesus? Well, What function does the curtain serve? What did it serve? It's the curtain served to bar the way from the holy place to the most holy place, right? And so only a high priest could go in beyond the curtain. He would brush by that curtain, scoot in, get his job done, and scoot out. It was a quick, hasty thing to do on the Day of Atonement, and making sure everything was done correct. But the thick curtain protected basically everything else on the other side and surrounding from the powerful glory of God. And so this curtain represents the separation between God and man, and it was torn, representing that man could once again communicate. So if Jesus is that curtain, then Jesus opens up the way for us to be able to have that communication with God. Isn't that beautiful? Reading Hebrews 3, 1 through 6, along with 10, 21, what does the house of God refer to? Let's go ahead and go over to Hebrews. Let me go ahead and copy and paste and drop it in. Hebrews 3, 1 through 6, and then we'll go back over to 10:21. Grab that in your Bible so you can mark both of those as well. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was also faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. And then, I'm going to go back over to 10:21. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, right? We've had this before. We've understood this before. So the house of God refers to the temple, okay? The phrase house of God, which is oikon tau theo, is only used in the New Testament and always used in the New Testament to refer to the temple. You can look that up again in Matthew 12:4 also. But the author is connecting the concept of the people of God and the place for God in one point. What do you think? What point do you think the author is making? And let's consider also 1 Corinthians 3:16-17 in that. I'll go ahead and click through and check it out. I almost reached for my glass that has something in it. I hate it when that happens. Okay, hold on. You see why I get I have no other glasses nearby. You see why I get a glass? Because my bottle's so big. All right. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Back to our question here. What point do you think the author is making? We don't need a permanent temple. We don't need a physical place to go to because we, the body of Christ, just so you know, that verse, that word you is y'all, means you, everybody that I've just been talking about this whole time. So we as the body of Christ, the church, corporately and in a sense individually, are the temple of God. My body is that temple, right? What do you think the point is here? The point is that Jesus is our high priest and he's over that all, and that the temple is the place where we meet God, and that temple also is our church corporately. So we have the corporate temple, all of us together at the temple, and then individually as well. So five times earlier, hold on, check this out here. There we go. All right. Five times earlier in his message, the author has exhorted us by saying, let us, let us, let us, let us. Now, in three more exhortations, we're encouraged again. Paraphrase the let us statements in Hebrews 10, 22 through 25. So we're going to go through each of these as our conclusion. And I want you to see something really cool. Really, really, really cool. Hopefully you'll just come arrive at it on your own as we're looking through. But let's go ahead back to the scripture. I'll put that up on the, I think I'm just going to let you look at it in your Bible because I want to keep this visual up here. instead. Okay. So, Hebrews 10, 22. Now I need my Bible. I'm like, oh, I need to look at it. All right. Hebrews 10, 22. Let's go back through all these. Let us draw near. Put that down. Let us draw near. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast. Let us hold fast. And Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. This begins with one let us phrase, which is supported by two phrases here that each could begin with let us. I'll show you what I mean. So let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works also carries over the let us carry over phrase could be laid on top of 25. You'll see it as we walk through that in just a minute as well. All right. Let's write those in. All right, so let's list the four conditions for doing the first let us draw near, 22, with a true heart, right? Let us, how are we going to draw near? With a true heart, in full assurance of faith. And I'm just breaking down 10:22. If you go back over here, there's let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And you're welcome to summarize those or write them as is, however you want, whatever you can fit in there. All right, so Hebrews 10, 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. So let us hold fast to what? The confession of our hope. List the two conditions for doing that without wavering. And this is our memory verse. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. Okay. And then finally in 10, 24 to 25, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let us not neglect to meet together, and let us encourage one another all the more as the day is drawing near. All right. Do you see that? All those? Okay. So summarize each in one word. Now, let us let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. How are we drawing near? Full assurance of faith. It's going to want me to log in. Hold on. Let me get this logged in because I want to highlight these so you guys can see these. I actually think they might be highlighted in my other one. Let me get this out of the way first. It's like, you can upgrade. I don't want to upgrade right now. Let us draw near with full assurance of faith. Awesome. Highlight that. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of hope without wavering. What are we holding fast to? The confession of our hope. Let us consider how to stir up one another to what? Love. And good works as well. You see it? It's pretty cool, right? All right. Well, let's go ahead and consider the parallel to 1 Corinthians 13, 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Isn't that great? And here we have them all summarized in our passage. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, hold fast with hope, and to stir one another to love and good works. Faith, hope, and love. Right there in that passage. I think that's pretty cool. All right. So write those in to summarize each one of those. Faith, hope, and love. And in your Bible, in your margins, I'd encourage you to write those out and highlight them. If you have a journaling Bible, maybe draw around that and really draw that attention out. All right, let's go ahead and wrap up with a final word here today. Growing up, my best friend had a strict rule in her house. Every time I came over to spend the night, she would remind me, "Don't touch anything in that room. My mom will kill us." She'd giggle, but still look serious as we slipped past their formal dining and living rooms. We didn't have a fancy room like that in my home, so that home was always a mystery to me. And I would let my eyes linger over every fine and imported object as we walked slowly by. I liked the idea of really pretty and expensive furniture that could only be used by very special people on very special occasions. But it was also a little sad that we weren't special enough to ever sit there until one night. On my girlfriend's 15th birthday party, her mom let us sit in that fancy room. We were scared and careful and definitely in awe of the opportunity. The carpet was white. The area rugs were imported. The sofas were cream-colored and ornately decorated, and it was quite a big deal. We chatted like country club members while we ate little treats in the special room. But when bedtime came, off we went into the upstairs room, and that room was off-limits again. Like the off-limits dining room, the Holy of Holies was only available once a year. And that room was reserved for only one person, the current high priest. But when Christ came, he opened the room wide open. Rather than giving us rules on how to behave ourselves with distant decorum in God's presence, he said, "Come, enter with boldness and confidence. Draw near with full assurance. You're clean. Bring a friend. Let's be here together. Sister, if there's a message that my heart wants you to know today, it is this. You are not enough, but Jesus is. Jesus made you clean, holy, set apart, and because of his sacrifice, his strength is made perfect in your weakness, and his grace is sufficient for you. Live in that confidence and in that boldness today." I hope that you will. I hope this passage today is one that'll stir you up to love and good works, and one that will remind you to hold fast the confession of your faith, and one that will remind you of the great hope that we have because of Jesus. This is a great passage for us to meditate on today, to continue to memorize, and to continue just to really put in the forefront of our mind. Maybe you're already working on your bookmarks that you want to give away as part of our Create and Share coming up. Wouldn't this be a good one to write out on a bookmark and to send to a friend who could use some encouragement? Maybe just to write it out for yourself and have it as an encouragement for you as well. All right. Well, God bless you. I'm glad that you were here today. Don't forget to check in and say hi. Let me know that you were listening so that I see your name there. Because, as you know, as always, until we meet again, you are loved and you are prayed for. And I look forward to our next time together. Bye-bye for now.